Right, it's good to have this place to come together. A lot going on in the world right now. Our West Coast is burning in a lot of ways with fires raging. We have COVID still going on, no end in sight quite yet. All kinds of turmoil, division. It seems like for a lot of people right now is a really tough time. But we can come together and encourage each other, challenge each other, and find hope and love and peace. That's our prayer that God speaks this morning to us, through us. So I'm going to ask you, we're just going to take some quiet moments here. I want to ask you to pray for me as I'm about ready to share because I need prayer. And pray for you and whatever needs you have. And pray for the other people, especially those who are listening today. So let's spend a few moments just going to invite you to pray for me and us. Thank you for your prayers. I'll pray for us now. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Pray that you speak. Please, Holy Spirit, be at work today among us. May your God-breathed word be at work today, piercing us in good ways, bringing us life, and bringing us what we need. Lord, we seek you today for the daily bread. And I pray for all of us. Some of us are coming weary, burdened. Some of us are coming, maybe even with a spring in our step from something good happening, falling in love, or just good news that we've received. Some of us are just coming kind of apathetic and tired. But Lord, however we can come to you. And this morning, you have something for each one of us, and it's what we need. So we look to you for that bread, and we pray, Word of God, that you feed us. Help us to hear what it is that we need to hear, and to see what it is that we need to see. So may we have ears that listen, hearts that understand, and eyes that see. So Spirit, please speak and help us to be aware of your presence here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I remember a time in my life when it was a low point, and I wanted to leave the church where I was at, and I went to go meet with David Sebastian. He was the dean of the school of Anderson School of Theology, which is where I went to seminary. Just a guy that I trusted, and I wanted to turn to him. And between you, me, and the doorpost, I was hoping that Dean Sebastian would point me to another church that would be far away from my problems and it solve everything that was going on. And while he was listening and maybe had some ideas, he didn't do that for me. What he did was he gave me some words of life that I really needed to hear at the time, some advice that is so simple and yet effective, and it's advice I need to keep falling back on. And before I tell you about Dean Sebastian's advice, I want to ask you a question. As a kid, there were these commercials that made an impression on me where somebody would be really stressed out and then would say, "Calgon, take me away." Now, if you're my age or older, you probably remember these commercials. And they're, Calgon, I think, is a bubble bath, essentially is what it is. And sometimes a bubble bath is just what the doctor orders for a bad day. But there are a lot of bigger problems that we face. And that even after we step out of the bath, those bigger problems won't quite go away. Have you ever just wanted to, like, escape from everything? Like, just like, there's just, it just never, the work never seems to be done, the problems never seem to cease, and you just need a vacation, or you just need a time where it all stops. You just slow it down, make it stop. let's have a day, an hour, a minute without something going wrong. Have you ever thought maybe that if you just get rid of something, or maybe if you just get rid of someone, or someone's, that then, yes, you can relate. If you just got rid of them, if you go somewhere else, be with somebody else, have something else, then probably you'd be a happy person, or at least your problems would be light or less. And today we're going to look at a simple idea from Scripture that I think has the potential to be helpful. In Proverbs 13:20, It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, if you heard last week, if you were with us, we talked about something called the elevator principle. And it's just a simple observation that people, other people have an impact on us. Sometimes other people diminish us or weaken us or frustrate us. Sometimes other people can strengthen us. Sometimes it's elevator because sometimes people can take us, lift us up, and sometimes other people can bring us down. And it's just kind of just a simple observation of a principle of how the world works or how relationships go. And we talked about how Jesus, after he prayed, he was facing the Pharisees and it's probably starting to get difficult for him. But after he spent the night praying, he called to him those he wanted and chose 12 disciples to be with him. That God the Father, as he's praying, knew, and he knew that his ministry would be better together, that he needed other people too. And he was training. He called people that he wanted and those to be with him. And you might think, okay, Jesus. Okay, so look at the Proverbs and it says, a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, you might think, Jesus, doesn't that sound a little harsh? I mean, after all, Jesus, if you look at his teachings, one of the things he says in the Sermon on the Mount, anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. I mean, that's pretty direct about not calling people fools, not name-calling. But this really, I think the Proverbs is not about name-calling or judging other people, but it's about having good judgment. Because we can have judgment about how we're being affected. We can have judgment about how other people are. We don't have to judge them to recognize the fruit that comes out of things. Because Jesus said a little later in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, watch out for false prophets. It's in Matthew 7, 15 through 16. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Look out. There may be some people who are out to get you. Watch out. Jesus cautioned, watch out. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Look what's coming out of the lives of other people, especially people who claim to be prophets. Look at the fruit. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Another thing Jesus said to his disciples, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Man, for I think a lot of us, the world almost feels that way right now. Like you're a sheep among wolves. So I'm sending you out. Jesus said it would be like this for them. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. So again, this isn't Jesus warned about being judgmental and calling people fools, being insulting and calling names. But he also says, hey, you got to watch out. We need to be mindful of relationships and how other people, what their motives are. Basically, don't be judgmental, but don't be naive either. Be innocent as a dove. Do the right thing. Be as shrewd as a snake. Be aware that there are some things out there along the path that can cause harm. There are false prophets. There are wolves. There are fools. So let's ask the question again. We're not name calling here. And I want to encourage spouses not to do any elbowing today too. Because you might have some names come to mind. But we're going to ask the question, how do you recognize a fool? Or what is the fruit? And we're going to look at some of the things that Proverbs say about the fruit of fools. All right, so we're just going to start reading some of these. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. The way of fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. And then moving on, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. It is one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. So I was thinking about that, about kind of the description of how the Proverbs describes the fruit of a fool. Let's imagine right now that you're going with some friends to Florida. All right? You're going to go for a nice beach. So you got the trip. You're not driving. You're along for the ride. You got your friends going to Florida. And you notice pretty early on that you're heading north instead of south. And you're pretty sure that Florida is south. And so you wonder and you ask the driver, hey, you know, Florida is south of Indiana, but we're going north. I think that we're going the wrong direction. And the driver gets really angry and defensive and says, I know where I'm going. You just leave me alone and you stay quiet. I know where I'm going. I've been there many times. And so you quiet down. And there's a little bit of tension in the car, you know, from the quarrel and the hot-headedness and all that. And then a little bit later, all the other friends realize they're paying attention to you and realize going the wrong direction. You're going north instead of south. And then another friend maybe suggests, hey, you know, it might be a good idea just to turn on the GPS navigation and just check. Just that'll make it safer. We'll be able to learn. So the friend plugs in the address of the hotel you're heading towards in Florida and starts it. And immediately the GPS navigational voice says, going the wrong way, turn around. And the driver says, I hate this new technology, and turns off it. I know where I'm going. I'm just so tired of things like this that are just wrong. This stupid technology that we have that's just off. And it's kind of, you know, tense. And then maybe every now and then somebody kind of suggested, you know, I think, are you sure we're, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. I'm tired of backseat drivers. I'm just going. Now, you know where the companion of this driver is heading, right? The companions of this fool are heading to Michigan or Canada. Now, Michigan and Canada are great places to go. There's nothing wrong with going to Michigan or Canada unless your reservations are all in Florida and you've packed to go to Florida and not to Canada. So you got a little bit of a problem. Now, that's obviously an exaggerated example. But as we think about it, that's kind of the description that an exaggerated description of a fool with Proverbs. And right now, if you're thinking, oh, man, that sounds like one of my loved ones, or that sounds like me, like I can relate. Let's hold off right now. We're not going to do that yet. We're just kind of thinking about what fool is, and what it is, how other people impact us. So as Proverbs, back to Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And probably we can all have a testimony in our past where we can recognize how that principle has been at work. And I think of my own testimony, my story of coming to Christ and becoming a disciple. I was real up and down, especially as a teenager. And my parents brought me to church, made me go to church, and forced me into the youth group and all those kind of things. And I was begrudging. I'd show up. But every now and then we'd go to like an event, and then it'd be an exciting event, and maybe they'd challenge us to follow Christ, and I'd be excited. Yeah, that's what I want to do. And then I would get excited about it for a day or two, and then I'd go back to school, had the same friends, and it didn't take long for all that to wear off. So it was kind of up, and every now and then there'd be this kind of up where it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I want. But mostly it was a slope down, and it got dark. And I was at a really low place. And it was even a time when I remember Mother's Day weekend of my sophomore year. This was the end of my sophomore year. And my friends and I had just gone into town, and it was like a Thursday, and we bought alcohol. And we all brought it to my house, and I've had a few drinks, and I just remember hiding it. And we were planning on that weekend having the party. But I was kind of trying to do it, never quite got to where I wanted to. But anyway, so that night, I remember just having a talk with my mom, and she told me a story, and that story just started stirring in my heart. And I just had this realization when I was laying in bed that night, like, my life is not heading in a good place. Like, I'm a fool on the way. Like, yeah, it's kind of fun in some ways, but really, I'm just going nowhere. I don't really have purpose in my life right now. And as I was thinking about it and my failures and my ups and downs, this verse just came to me. Now, it's kind of a strange verse for this moment, but the verse was, and it just kind of stayed in my head, it was, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. for it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And for me, like, I just kept thinking about it, and I knew what it meant for me, too. And it was, you have the same friends, and you may go do something sometime, but you have to change your friend groups. You have to change your companions in order to really walk with me and have a life of purpose. In order to grow wise, you're going to have to be with wise people. And so I knew, and that was the night that I got rid of the alcohol. I made changes in my friend group, and I stopped, like, with the ones who were pulling me, because I knew how they were influencing me and what direction that some people were taking me. And I just tried to be intentional about building relationships with people who were different, who maybe were people who had some qualities I admired, who were wise. I tried to start walking more with wise people and being less of a companion of fools, in essence. So that was my testimony. And that's what it finally took for me to really stay with that path instead of just go up and down and up and down, was about relationships. To be able to recognize that my relationship with God was not just me and God, but it involves lots of other people too. That I'm impacted by other people just like we all are. Now, think about Jesus and his life. Jesus was criticized all throughout the Gospels for being friends of sinners. He's a companion of sinners. He was friends with, and he was criticized often over that. And you would think maybe kind of that sinners, tax collectors, those people that Jesus was criticized for hanging out with, that maybe those people would be more likely to fall in the category of fools than wise people. And I think that that's fair, but I want to look at one story where Jesus, this is one time where the Pharisees, the people who were religious and were trying to live good lives and all that, kind of, were criticizing Jesus for being a friend. He was eating at the house of a tax collector, and there were sinful people around. And they criticized him for that. And Jesus' response in Luke 5:31-32 is this. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, the Pharisees were maybe a lot of people considered them the good church-going folk. It wasn't called church back then. It was synagogue, or they went to temple, or whatever. But Jesus wasn't saying here that the Pharisees were healthy either. If you read all throughout the Gospels, another thing that Jesus calls the Pharisees is blind fools. Jesus called the Pharisees fools. And thinking about the impact that Jesus' companions on him, really it wasn't the sinners and tax collectors who were harming him. If you read the Gospels, he was careful about his relationships, but it was the blind fools, it was the Pharisees who were intending to harm him. He called them wolves, false prophets who were out to harm. People, as we just think about Jesus, when we think about the calling that we have in Christ, I think we need to acknowledge, no matter how strong we think we are, the people in our lives will change us. The people in our lives will impact us and kind of shape who we are, that there's some truth in this proverb that walk with the wise and become wise, or a companion of fools suffers harm. The Apostle Paul said it like this, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." We are impacted by our companions in life. So let's go back again to this principle. Walk with the wise, Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. I want to ask you a question. And this, I hope this doesn't seem like a real, it is not a judgmental thing where we're labeling fools and want to point our finger and say, "You're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool." But Can we avoid being around fools? Right? That's kind of a funny question, right? Should we avoid being around fools? No. Right? No. It's not someone who's ever around fools. It's about companion, how people are impacting us. We can't. We're with fools. We work with fools. Maybe we work for fools. We're related to some fools. And occasionally, maybe, we stare at the mirror and there's a fool staring right back at us, right? Because some of us at all times can play the role. We can play the fool. So we're not This isn't about, hey, you're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool, and just avoid all fools. That's not what we're saying. But we're looking for how relationships, because we're better together, and we want to utilize relationships to bring out the best in us. Because there are some wise people who will bring out the best in us, and there are some foolish people who may cause us harm if we get too close or if we're too close of companions. So it's about paying attention, because harm can come. And this isn't about just being with people you like either, because sometimes fools are great fun to be with, aren't they? My friends that I talked about, they were a lot of fun to be with, but they brought out the worst in me. And sometimes we don't even like the wise people because they may challenge us in a way that insults us. Fools also, they can maybe enable something that we like, so we like that about fools. Fools may encourage us to do wrong or bring out the worst. So fools can't even encourage us in that way by encouraging us in the wrong direction. So this is about, it takes a lot of discernment, but just recognizing fruit. Wolves come to harm us. Is this relationship bringing harm to me? Look at the fruit. False prophets are there to harm people. Walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And it takes lots of prayer and discernment. Another thing it says in the Proverbs is that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So there, sometimes fools can even maybe flatter us and kiss us, blow kisses, and maybe our friends, our true friends, will wound us at times. But the principle is, the companions you keep leads to the fruit you will reap. It's not just me and God going. We need just like what we were talking about with the men's group earlier today, we need other people that we can safely pour our lives into who will pray for us and encourage us and help us and keep us safe and protect us. We need those kind of friends. We're better together. This isn't about avoiding people. This is about building the right kind of relationships. Because our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. A disciple, what we're doing is we're building relationships, helping people learn to trust and obey Christ. So this is about building relationships, following Jesus, building healthy, life-giving relationships. Because sometimes that's what we really need, is that push, that we need to go to the right person, the one who's wise, to help do life, to have them pray for us. What are we looking for? What are we looking for in companions? Good companions, as Jesus pointed out, the Pharisees were fools because they didn't want to get better. They thought they were the healthy ones, but when Jesus challenged them, they had no desire to. And Jesus was pitted off with people who were sinners and tax collectors because they wanted to get better. They acknowledged that they were sick and wanted to get healthier. So good companions are people who are hungry to get better. Good companions are people who want something for you. Because the bad, the false prophets, the wolves are those who are going to try to get something from you. But the good companions, and they think they're arrived a lot of times. They won't listen. But good companions are hungry to get better. So I would just challenge you to look for people who are hungry to grow and want something for you. Want something for you. So as is every Sunday, what we just keep encouraging people to do is take that next step towards Christ. Wherever you've been this past week, your whole life, wherever it is, we can take that next step toward Christ. We can take it away or we can stay where we are. But I just want to encourage you to take that step towards Christ. And it's this morning, that life-giving Spirit of God that gave Jesus life and gives life to our bodies too. If you just sense that Spirit speaking to you and you want to follow Christ, I want to just invite you to say this prayer quietly. It's an invitation to say we need help and to say I want to follow Jesus. So pray this with me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a prayer Jesus taught us to pray. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But you came so that I might have life. I come to you for life. I want to follow Jesus on paths of righteousness. and I ask for your Holy Spirit to empower me to be able to walk in love as Jesus walked. Amen. So again, as we think about implying this, I just want to challenge you to take an inventory of relationships, and maybe there's a step, maybe it's just to keep meeting with the group that you're meeting with, maybe it's to make a phone call or start building a relationship, reach out to a person or two that you think of as a wise person, because the companions you keep will lead to the fruit that you will reap. It's really important. As we close, I was reading some words from a guy who talks about emotions. His name is Mark Brackett, and he said this, and I wrote it down. We all want our lives and the lives of the people we love. This is what we hope for us and for our loved ones, our husband or our wife, our kids, our grandkids, our parents, our siblings, our friends. We want our lives and the lives of the people we love to be free of hardship and troubling events. We want that, don't we? Especially parents. I know as parents, we don't want our kids to go through hard things. But he says this, we can never make that happen. We can't make that happen, keeping our loved ones and us to be free of hardships and troubling events. We all want our lives to be filled with healthy relationships, compassion, and a sense of purpose. That we can make happen. Even though we can't take your troubles away, what we can do is we can encourage so that our lives are filled with the healthy relationships we need, that our lives are filled with the compassion that it takes, and our lives have that sense of purpose to give us hope. That we can make happen. I'm going to go back and just end with that story of Dean Sebastian and what he said to me when I just wanted to run away and escape. He said, Daniel, you've got to get more involved and build relationships with healthy people. You got to go to meetings and meet and find some people that you admire and build relationships. And that advice really changed my life. And it led to people. I had to go searching for this, and I found it. There are a couple of people and two names that I'll mention today. One is John Crump, whose dad was a pastor here and is a pastor down the road in Mooresville. Another one was Doug Talley, who's our state pastor. And those are two of the relationships that resulted after that advice to build relationships with wise people. If you walk with the wise, you'll grow wise. And that's even, this may be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your perspective, but those are the two people who are most responsible for me even being here. So those relationships changed my life. And our relationships will change our lives for better or for worse. But let's pray and work so that it's for the better. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we come to you right now in this present moment just as we are. Some of us are hurting and broken within. Some of us are overwhelmed by the weight of sin. But we hunger and thirst for you and for your righteousness. We thank you, Jesus, for calling us to you for rest and life and peace and hope and love and purpose. Remind us that as we come to you, your arms are wide open, receiving us, offering the love and forgiveness we need through Christ. Holy Spirit, help us to move toward Christ and joy and new life. Teach us to build good relationships and how we can walk with the wise, and use us to be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name.